close to, and there's not much you can do about that. So if he really does need to write a will, because then it saves you all of the hassle, and it also is specific about what he actually wants, and he can say, although you've got maybe the language difficulties you've got to get around as well, I would definitely go and see a solicitor, a local solicitor, in person, preferably with your dad. I really would recommend that, and it's peace of mind for everybody involved. Shahid, thank you very much indeed for that. More coming up after the news at 3. And then we're going to be looking at some of the other stories that are making the news this morning. We'll take some more calls on wills, maybe defence. Lots more comments coming in on classic television as well. And all being well, we'll be chatting with Will Guyatt with the latest tech and AI news. All to come after the news at 3, which is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 3 o'clock. Campaigners are warning the waste crisis driven by disposable vapes could continue even after a ban comes into force on Sunday. Shops and websites will be prohibited from selling single-use products. Green activists are worried new refillable devices are so cheap, people will just replace them. Matt Cran from the vape company Riot Labs has told LBC prohibition won't work.
Banning a product under environmental grounds, I think the main reason the ban was in place was to stop youth access. But it's easier for them to ban it under environmental grounds. But doing that without the enforcement to stop the illicit trade is just fueling the black market.
Hamas says it's still reviewing a proposal from the United States for a temporary ceasefire in Gaza. The plan, which has been approved by Israeli officials, is calling for a 60-day truce. It also guarantees serious negotiations aimed at creating long-term peace. President Trump has announced U.S. tariffs on steel imports are to double. He's told steelworkers in Pennsylvania they will rise by 50%, and have come after he accused China of breaking an agreement on duties. LBC's US correspondent Nick Harper says that hasn't lasted very long.
It was only struck 2 weeks ago in Switzerland. It was an attempt for both sides to try and calm the waters. It meant that both sides would reduce their tariffs by 115% for 90 days. So that goes through until around about the beginning of August, giving them time to try and work out a longer term deal. But Donald Trump said that they had violated already those changes.
The Defence Secretary says more than £1.5 billion of extra funding earmarked for upgrades to military homes will be confirmed as part of the government's strategic defence review. It's expected to be released soon and will give more information about the money, which will go towards housing improvements and future development. The defence analyst Colonel Simon Diggins has told LBC a lot of work is needed.
Look at the report that was put out in December last year by the House of Commons Defence Committee. It was pretty damning. Basically, it said to two-thirds to all family quarters within the armed forces were not fit for standard, and the standard single living accommodation was also in a very, very poor state as well. So this is a major, major deficit in terms of our standard we're giving to our armed forces personnel.
And a new study is suggesting an immunotherapy drug could help some cancer patients to live for longer. It's marketed as Keytruda and has specifically helped people with head and neck tumours after being tested across 24 countries. LBC weather: outbreaks of rain in the north during Saturday, although it will be mainly dry with sunshine in the south and the southeast, cloudy with showers elsewhere, and a high of 26 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Bull.
Good morning, it's LBC, I'm Clive Bull with you through till 4, and it's that time of the morning now where we delve into the newspapers and look at some of the other stories making the news or trying to catch your attention. And if you'd like to comment on any of these stories or anything else that you hear, any comments that I read out and you want to comment back, feel free. That is the whole idea. Between now and 4, the lines are still open. Not everybody wants to call between 3 and 4. I know that. But if you want to, you'd be very welcome. We can have a chat. 0345 6060 973. If you can't call in, then WhatsApp on the same number. And if you can't WhatsApp, then you can text 84850. And if you don't even want to type, you can send an Alexa. You say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC, followed by your comment. And I've got my Gen Z team here. It's Calum on the buttons this morning. So if you hear me being distracted by questions in my headphones, that'll be Calum trying to ask me an awkward question. And I'll be trying to answer it back. So we'll see how we go. I picked out a few here that caught my eye, and I thought we'd start with this one from the Mail, and this is about pronouncing words. Do you have any pet peeves, things that you think people are pronouncing wrongly, or indeed that you're prepared to admit you've been getting it wrong all this time and you didn't realise? I'm sure, I've spent so long chatting away on the radio, I'm sure I must have mispronounced many things. In fact, names is an interesting one. Before I get on, even onto the article here, pronouncing people's names correctly. I think it's quite important to try and get it right, and I don't always get it right. And some of that's habit, and some of that is just that things enter the language. So, for example, yesterday we were talking about Nigel Farage. Now, I say Nigel Farage because that's how he says it. And I've met him and he says, I'm Nigel Farage. I mean, that's what he says his name is. But lots of people say different things. I think partly because they don't like him, maybe, and they think, well, let's change his name to Farage or Farage or something like that. I mean, I think it's probably best to try and get the names right. Having said that, I got it into my head that it's Kemi Badenoch, because I know somebody called Badenoch, and it's a Scottish name, and they are called Badenoch. But she says it's Badenoch. So every time I think, oh, I've actually got that wrong. So it's Kemi Badenoch, apparently. In the end, it should be up to the person how they want their name to be pronounced, I would have thought. I mean, you know, we're all entitled to call ourselves whatever we want. So I try to get it right, but I don't always. I'm prepared to admit that. And if there are words that you get wrong, I'd be interested to know what you get wrong and what you mispronounce. And maybe you'll get some of these as well, because this is mispronouncing mischievous no longer bothers me, reveals Susie Dent. But do you know how to say it, says the Mail. So this is Countdown's Susie Dent. You know all about Susie Dent, don't you, and Countdown? What? You've never heard of her? Oh, my goodness me. I thought Gen Zs and students all watch Countdown in the afternoon. Oh, dear. Well, she is a word expert and has been the word expert on Countdown on Channel 4 for many years, and is I think she is the go-to person in terms of knowing about the English language and words. She's a specialist in this. So she's been talking at the Hay Festival, the book festival, where I suppose it's even more relevant that she's talking at a book festival, and she's picked out one particular word when she was doing her little speech, which makes a lot of people's blood boil, but only if you know that it's wrong. So the word is mischievous, meaning full of mischief. You're mischievous. But a lot of people now say mischievous. And I've heard, mentioning no names, but I've heard at least one of my colleagues on air saying mischievous as well. And the reason is, I think, because we don't have any other words. In fact, this is her explanation. We don't have any words in this language particularly left over that just end up with vus. Most of them are vius, like devious, for example. So we want to say vius. There's no I in it at the end. It's mischievous. But people say mischievous. Susie Dent says she doesn't care. That's fine. It's all part of the way the language develops and grows. So we've ended up turning that into a word that sounds like previous and devious and so on. But she goes on to mention many other words as well that we often get wrong, and also some of her favourite words. She is an expert on words that no longer get used. And I love some of these. For example, one of her favourites is respair. Not despair, but respair. Ever heard of that one? No, me neither. It was commonly heard in the 16th or 17th century, meaning fresh hope or recovery. Respair. So the opposite, really, of despair is respair. She also loves the word, I think this is a good one, ipsedexitism, which means a dogmatic assertion that something is true without providing any supporting evidence or proof. Well, I've never heard that word before, but there's an awful lot of ipsedexitism around at the moment, I would say. And another one of her favourite words is nodcrafty. Can you guess, Caelan, what nodcrafty might mean? It's a great word. It's from the 19th century. I can imagine it being used in a Dickens novel. He's nodcrafty. A bit like mischievous, you mean? Mischievous? Nodcrafty, it means to have the knack of nodding your head as if you're really following along, but actually you tuned out ages ago. Yeah, which we all do. And she says it's very relevant now, perfect for any Zoom meeting where people are being nodcrafty all the time and they're not really listening, but they're just sort of nodding. And of course, interviewers do that a lot as well. And then she goes through some of the words that are the most hard to pronounce, such as, some of these are in the news, like Kyiv, for example, which people say Kiev, but now it's the Ukrainian pronunciation, so you must say Kyiv. I think most people have got that one now. A particular cause of arguments is schedule and schedule. Which one do you say, Caelan? Schedule, schedule. Schedule. Okay, apparently that's wrong. Schedule is the American, and schedule is the British, although I often say schedule as well. I think I just heard it so many times. And when we say wrong, I don't think we should get hung up about some of these things, because, if we watch a lot of American TV shows, which I do, then I'm going to end up using Americanisms, and I know that I do that. I mean, I have insisted on saying Gen Z instead of Gen Z, which is probably how it all started. Then there are various names like Siobhan. People don't know how to pronounce that because it's spelled S-I-O-B-H-A-N. Aoibhan. Do you know how to spell Aoife? A-O-I-F-E. Or Neve. That's another difficult one. If you're not used to it, Neve, which is spelt N-I-A-M-H. Some of the others, which I think you might be familiar with, that do annoy people. Quinoa. People, that is how you pronounce it, isn't it? You're the expert on quinoa. Yes. Gen Z, they all eat quinoa and avocado. So you know how to pronounce that one. People say quinoa. One of the great ironies is that pronunciation is often mispronounced, and people say pronunciation, but technically it's meant to be pronunciation, because there's no O in it after the first O. It's pronunciation, not enunciation. Espresso. There is a famous David Mitchell sketch where he gets wound up by people saying espresso all the time. I can have an espresso, but it's espresso. Oh, names are... Yeah, I mean, if you've never learnt some of these things, particularly people's names... Caelan has just typed up a name that is if you haven't seen it before, if I read it out as it's spelt, it's Joaquin. Joaquin. But it's not that, is it? It's Joaquin? Joaquin? Is that right? And who's the famous Joaquin? Rivers. Is it? I think so, yeah. Anyway, that is a hard one to pronounce. Others that people get wrong are February. I think most of us just say February. But February? They say February, and it's meant to be February. And the list goes on and on. I'd like to know from you whether it matters or not, any of these words mispronounced. I think mostly it doesn't matter because the language is changing, and even Susie Dent says she doesn't mind about mischievous, but often it's just because people don't know. And maybe, I mean, language does change, doesn't it, over the decades. What are your thoughts on that? What have you mispronounced, or you notice people mispronouncing all the time? 0345 6060 973. Now, other stories. I've been trying to collect up the stories that they put in that are, you've been doing it all wrong. You remember those stories? I can't remember what it was last week, but there's always one where, you're doing it all wrong. And there are two today, both about Italian food. So this one's, Italian chef reveals how you've been cutting your pizza all wrong and the surprising tool you should be using instead. These are all coming from people on TikTok, I think. Can you guess what it is? The roller thing, the pizza roller thing? Yeah, apparently that's wrong. We're doing it all wrong. You're not meant to use a pizza wheel at all. In fact, for proper Italian pizza master, especially if you're in Naples, traditionally pizza is served whole and then quartered with scissors and then folded, never sliced with a pizza wheel. The pizza wheel is something invented in America, is not Italian. You'd struggle to find a pizza wheel if you travelled around in Naples. And they've got pictures of a chef with a gigantic pair of scissors just cutting through and then folding it over. I don't think I'd want to do that. But, okay, so I'm not sure I agree with that one. And the other one is, you're eating pasta all wrong. So guess what we're doing here? Any idea? Expert reveals how to enjoy carbs-free, guilt-free, why you should never eat noodles fresh out of the pan. And the gist of this is that it turns out that letting your pasta or rice or potatoes, anything carby, fully cool down before you eat them helps with weight loss. Because when you cook and cool foods that are carb-rich, like pasta and rice, their starch molecules realign, forming what they call resistant starch. According to Kevin David Rail, the fitness expert, unlike regular carbohydrates, resistant starch acts more like fibre, meaning it digests more slowly, providing a steady energy release. And you can lose weight, but it still gives you the carbs you need. He says top footballers have been using this hack for years to help sustain energy levels. So they have cold pasta salad. They have potato salad, which contains more resistant starch than the stuff that's just been cooked. I've never heard of this before, have you? Yeah, I mean, it's just not a bad idea, actually. I think it sounds quite good. I think it's worth considering. But it's cold pasta salads and potato salad and stuff like that. Why not? Even cold rice and in the summer? Yeah, exactly. Caleb's saying, especially in the summer. I think that's a good point. So, yeah. That's why we've been eating our carbs all wrong. And yesterday, you missed this, Caelan, but yesterday it was a big day. It was National Biscuit Day. And we never miss an opportunity to talk about that very cliched subject of biscuits. And believe it or not, we did get a lot of people talking about their favourite biscuit. And one that did come up, but only mildly, is Jammy Dodgers. And there's a story about Jammy Dodgers today. Do you know what a Jammy Dodger is? It's awful. It's got the orange stuff in the middle. Okay. Well, you're sort of right there. They say people are only just realising what's inside a Jammy Dodger biscuit. Okay, well, it's jam, isn't it? Isn't that why they're called Jammy Dodgers? Isn't that the whole point? I will read on. Jammy Dodgers have been a tea time favourite since 1960, but people are only just learning what makes its delicious filling. Okay. The popular British biscuit is made of two rounds of shortbread sandwiched together by a rich jammy red filling and famously stamped with a small red heart. I hadn't noticed the red heart. Jammy Dodgers come in a variety of flavours, raspberry, strawberry. Fans have been left shocked. I bet we're not going to be shocked when we get to this. What is this, then, that we didn't realise? We'll be shocked to discover that the beloved sweet snacks contain neither fruit, but rather a totally different one altogether. What? The popular Jammy Dodgers achieve their wondrous filling using apple jam. The biscuits also feature a raspberry filling, which gives it its famous taste fans have come to love. Meanwhile, the strawberry variation, which comes in a pink packet, also uses apple jam in its ingredients and then adds a strawberry flavouring. What? So the ingredients list flour, raspberry-flavoured apple jam, apples, flavourings and sugar. OK, well, it's hardly a shocker, is it? I mean, it's mildly interesting that it's got apple jam and then they colour it, presumably, and make it look like a different kind of jam. OK, there we are. You weren't here yesterday. Caelan wants to know what was... Well, we were... The most favourite was chocolate digestives, and that was conducted in polls, but also people... texting in yesterday, sending messages in. But equally, we did hear from people saying they loved Garibaldi's. Are you familiar with a Garibaldi? No? Okay. And other choices were hobnobs. I like shortbread. Plain old shortbread. You were going to say that as well? Okay. Well, that was the number two most popular biscuit. Yeah, rich tea was number three, I think. Yeah, rich tea, plain but delicious, I think. Okay, well, I'd go along with you on that. Well, there we are. There's a flavour of some of the stories inside making some of the lighter news. If you'd like to comment on any of that, 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
When you smile in.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with Clive Ball. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Aldo says, were there no votes for Bourbon Creams? There were some, actually. Yeah, Bourbons were in there. Not in the top five, though. Rodney is in Mole Valley. Hello, Rodney.
Good morning, Clive.
Morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
I'm told it's very warm outside. Very, it is. Humid.
I've just been outside as well.
Oh, really?
My granddaughter who lives with us had a koi tarp, and it died. And she put it, my wife was said, could you go down to the house, because we don't sleep in the house, could you go down to the house and check whether she put the lid on it or whether some other creature's going to grab it?
Oh, dear.
So I had to just get up and come back again, and it was very mild. I didn't even need to put the dressing gown on.
Very mild, yeah. Yeah, not going to last, though, but make the most of it.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, and never does in this country. No, that's one of the beauties of living here.
Yep.
And half our family went to Italy because of good weather, and they've had some terrible weather just recently. There are some things, words, that really get me. I'm not sure, I don't think I can remember them all, actually. But a lot of people say, and I had to correct, she is Italian. She got into the habit of saying would of.
Would of. Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's a very popular one.
It's a very common thing now. Would of and should of instead of have. Exactly. Yeah, should have is what it should be, but people, I think it's because it should have has turned into should have and would have. And
yeah, it's actually, yes, if you spelt that, then you would spell it apostrophe V-E.
V-E, yeah.
But
it's turned into O-F instead.
Yes, that's right. And then I had to correct the nurse when I went down for an injection. She talked about diphtheria. Well, it's not spelled even diphtheria. It's spelled D-I-P-H-T-H as diphtheria. And then I couldn't believe it that an ophthalmologist said that incorrectly, as I'd just purposely done. It's spelled also like diphtheria, O-P-H-T-H. So it's ophthalmology.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'd never noticed that one. I didn't know dip. So you're saying it's diphtheria. And
it is definitely diphtheria. Yeah.
Oh.
And amphitheatre, of course, is the other one like that as well.
Amphitheatre.
Diphtheria and ophthalmology, or after ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmology.
O-P-A-T-H, yeah. Just got to follow how it's spelt, but they seem to ignore that because they become popular.
Not very
and
easy
then,
to say.
With some of our family being Italy, when they come over, they see all the way around this sort of panini. You can go and buy a panini. Well, panini is is the plural of panino. In Italy, you've got words ending in O or A, and then if they become plural, they become E or A in the end.
Ah.
And so it should be a panino. You go and buy a panino.
Not a panini. That's the plural.
Not a panini. You're sort of, it's like saying sausages or whatever.
Yes.
It's just, and of course, the other one that people don't pronounce properly on menus is tagliatelle. Well, G-L-I in Italian is always pronounced lia, so it's tagliatelle.
Tagliatelle, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Would you as you're Italian, would you agree with this thing about using scissors to cut your pizza?
Oh, I do some terrible things like that. Yeah, scissors I would do, but when no one's looking. Another thing I do that the Italians I have to hide under the table is on spaghetti or another pasta-type dish. I like having fresh lettuce or whatever vegetables are around chopped up in it to give it a little bit of bite. But you do that in Italy, of course, or even here. They think, oh, dear, he's really gone and bombing.
I like that idea, no.
No, it gives a little bit of a crunch.
Put some veg in your pasta, definitely. And actually, you can put lettuce in. You can cook lettuce and mix it up, why not?
Partly, why not? Because I think it softens it, possibly.
Well, it does go a bit, yeah, but it's just like cabbage in the end.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. My wife's just telling me that I... another word that people have difficulty in pronouncing is statistics. So they say statistics.
Statistics, statistics.
And that is very frequent.
Yep.
And another thing that irritates me is when, and this is on TV, people that run their own program on the TV, I won't say who, is always getting the word frequent and regular mixed up. If they want to say, he often does that, they'll say, he'll regularly do so and so. Well, regular means just that. It means you're going to do something regularly. But
yeah.
What they really mean is frequently. So that's another.
There is a difference. Yes, regularly means it could mean once a year.
Yep, once a year, once an hour, whatever. He regularly does it, every so often at a regular interval. Rather than frequently, could be any sort of interval, but as long as it's often. Actually, I had a few others, but my wife even corrected me. I think I'm not too bad on words, but I used to write a letter saying, thank you for so-and-so. And she said, you don't spell it like that. You don't spell it as one word. It is thank you, two words.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did I never know that? Oh, dear.
It's amazing how sometimes you just never find out that you're getting something slightly wrong. I'm trying to think. I'm sure I have had a few of those. Maybe I haven't discovered that they're wrong yet. Rodney, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much. Glad you're enjoying the humid, mild weather. We'll take more calls and lots of messages to get through as well. Coming up shortly, but right now on LBC, it's time for the headlines with Tim Daly.
Campaigners are warning the waste crisis being driven by disposable vapes could continue even after a ban comes into force on Sunday. They're worried new refillable devices are so cheap, people will just replace them. Hamas says it's still reviewing a proposal from the United States for a temporary ceasefire in Gaza. The plan, which has been approved by Israeli officials, is calling for a 60-day truce. And President Trump has announced US tariffs on steel imports are to double. He's told steel workers in Pennsylvania they'll rise by 50% and have come after he accused China of breaking an agreement on duties. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in the north for Saturday, although it will be mainly dry with sunshine in the south and the southeast, cloudy with showers elsewhere and a high of 26 degrees.
This is LBC.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire? Huh. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself. At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
This is LBC. Message Clive Bull on WhatsApp now. 0345 60 60973.
And lots of messages and lots of mispronunciations and more. I'm going to have a look at some of those in a moment. Let's talk to Jeremy, though, who's been waiting patiently in Purton in Hertfordshire. Hello, Jeremy.
Good morning, Clive.
Morning.
Hope you're well. Great programme.
Thank you very much. Very well.
You're right. I have been waiting and I've had time to write a list.
Oh, excellent.
So I'll go through it quickly.
Okay, well, it's all right. I'm on till four, so okay, take your time.
Controversial words.
Yes.
I was pulled up a few weeks ago for saying the word controversy.
No.
It's controversy.
Controversy.
Right.
Controversy.
Well, okay. If it's controversy, why don't we say controversial instead of controversial?
I know. There has always been a controversy about controversy.
So that's the first one. My second one, meteoric rise.
Ah, yes.
Fall, but they do not rise.
No.
Okay. So that one really bugs me every time I hear it.
Right.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Do you remember Charlie Drake?
Just about. I do remember Charlie Drake. He was a cheeky chappy sort of thing, yeah.
Probably before your time.
Did he have red hair?
I think he did. Well, it was black and white then, so he didn't know.
Oh, right, nobody knew.
but he was tiny, cheeky. I didn't actually like him that much, but I remember one programme one night, it was live, and he was pulled through a set of shelves and knocked unconscious. Oh. And they had to sort of fluff it, and it wasn't until the next day in the newspapers that everybody knew what had happened.
Oh.
So that was that. Wills.
Yes.
Yeah. They started in 1235.
1235, that is going back a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I did a lot of research on wolves for work that I was doing on the 17th century people. And can I just read you a little bit of one to show you just how...
Sure.
...fragile society was then?
Yes.
This is the will of a bloke called Robert Ludlam, and he worked for a man called Leonard Tennant. They were in Smithfield, and they were makers of huge church clocks.
Oh, okay.
Made of iron, and they measured anything up to sort of 4 foot wide by 3 foot, 4 foot long by 3 foot wide by 3 foot high. They were huge. Anyway, this chap, Robert Ludlam, he died in 1646, and in his will, he says, "Item I bequeath unto my sister Mary, one feather bed and all things belonging to it, if she receive cure of her sore breast.
Oh.
But if she shall depart this life before she be cured of it, then I bequeath them unto my brother Benjamin to be given unto him at the end of, and expiration of his apprenticeship," blah, blah.
Oh.
And
very specific.
He also left a little box with 16 twopences in it to his cousin Mary Dawes, but the 16 one-pence pennies in it were to go to his Thomas Dawes, that's right. And then his master's man got his bugle girdle. What happened to the bugle, I don't know. But yeah, that's 1646. So the inventory that is attached to that will includes everything in the house. I mean, it's all household goods. All your bed linen, all your...
They just go through everything.
These men had anvils and vices and things.
Wow.
They always left an anvil to somebody who they were closely related to.
Gosh. So it wouldn't be just all my worldly goods. They would actually list everything.
But not everything, no. And in this particular one, the rest and residue, the stuff that wasn't bequeathed in the will, and I wonder if that includes the bugle, because that's not mentioned. Only the bugle girdle is mentioned.
Oh.
Everything else went to his uncle, Richard Dawson or somebody. Yeah. Mm,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Jeremy, good
wills
to talk
are
to you.
Fantastically interesting.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's an insight into
but that
life.
One there just shows how dangerous it can be and how contestable they can be. Did that woman die or not? You know,
yeah.
Things like this.
Absolutely. It's why you've got to do one and get it right. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Great to talk to you. On that point, going back to what Shahid was saying earlier on, he was pretty much getting it right. He was talking about what happens if you die and you haven't got a will. And just to clarify my understanding of it, having looked it all up just to check. So when a person dies without a will, they are described as having died intestate, which means that their estate will be distributed according to the rules of intestacy. And those rules for England and Wales are a statutory set of rules. They were updated in 2014 and again 2023 they were updated slightly as well, and the rules are different in Scotland. But if you die without a will, then there are rules set out. Now, what he mentioned about the partner getting the first 322,000 is correct. This is for married couples and civil partners. If you die intestate, your spouse or civil partner only receives, if you haven't done a will, will only receive a certain amount of the estate, which is currently set at the first 322,000, and if it's less than that, you get everything, plus half of everything else above that amount. They may also inherit if you have informally separated but not actually legally ended your civil partnership or divorced. If you are a divorced partner, as the law stands at the moment, you get nothing. All the rest of your estate, if you have no children, grandchildren, great-children, if you're married and in a civil partnership, your spouse or civil partner will not automatically receive all of the estate. That is the point. The first 322,000, as he said, and then the rest of it is spread around according to the rules. So it's very complicated stuff, and all the more reason why, if you possibly can and you're concerned about it, you should really write a will and talk to an expert. And certainly don't take my word for it. Elaine says, I too just about remember Charlie Drake. Wasn't his catchphrase, "All right, my love"? I think it was. I believe it was, though. I must stress that I was peeping through the bars of my cot when I heard this. That's from Elaine in Swindon. Elaine, thank you. Angelo says, Dear Clive, re-cold pizza, quarters folding. That's exactly how my uncles taught me to eat it. Like a big fat sandwich. Darn difficult when you're 2 years old. That's Angelo, who I'm guessing probably is of an Italian background and does indeed cut up the pizza and then fold it over. As a retired lawyer, this one says, Clive, pronunciation occasionally does matter because it can cause ambiguity and getting the wrong end of the stick. But, of course, the acid test in all communication is whether what you say is understood. Yes, sometimes, if it causes miscommunication, it's got to be right. Maggie says, I've always cut pizza with scissors. Do you know, I've never thought of doing that. And now that I've seen it demonstrated, I might try. Why not? Do it the Italian way. Ian says, Hi, Clive. Should have instead of should have annoys me. Also, people say very unique. There are no degrees of uniqueness. Well, that is very true. It's either unique or it's not unique. You can't be slightly unique or very unique or anything like that. Not even almost unique. Aldo, as many people are pointing out, it was Joaquin Phoenix. That's what we were trying to think of. We said River for a minute. It was River Phoenix was his brother who died, Joaquin Phoenix. So it was Phoenix was the surname we were desperately looking for there. James in Camberwell says, it annoys me when people say in as in. So they say happenin' and not happening. Yeah, that's a very common one. Quite a lot of people do that. And sometimes it's not really a mispronunciation so much as more like an accent, I think. But some people do drop the G. You know, I've done it myself from time to time. And who was the conservative politician that... Priti Patel, I think it was, who used to do that all the time. Everything was in, happening, and beginning, and not no G on the end of the words. Warren in Northwood says, I love the word discombobulated. Yes, that's really come back in that one. I think that might be partly to do with James O'Brien, because that's one of his favourite words as well, I think. Martin says, it drives me mad when people say remuneration, meaning which means renumbering, instead of remuneration, which means earnings. Yeah, that's a good point. Easily muddled up. Remuneration is you getting paid for something. Renumeration is swapping numbers around. Joy says, mine is pronunciation. I often say pronunciation. Yeah. That there's a huge irony in people mispronouncing pronunciation. Although it isn't logical, is it? Because the word is pronounce. You'd think it would be pronunciation. but it isn't. Jane says, my sister says lorry instead of lorry. Is that an accent thing, a dialect, maybe? Ray in Sevilla says, hi, Clive. One of my friend's surnames is Onions, but he says it's pronounced O'Nions, as in an Irish name, O apostrophe Nions. Yeah. Yeah, well, I used to know a Mr. Onions. Andrea says, the word here pronounced as hair irks me, as does the word here pronounced hair. Who would say that? You mean very posh, like over here, like that, or yeah. As does the word specific pronounced Pacific. Well, that is a classic. Yeah, I've heard lots of people do that. Yeah, they say specifically, I want to say this, and they mean specifically. Aaron on the comedy front says Spaced is the best UK comedy that came out for a long time. And I think you're right, Aaron. I only discovered it a little while ago, and I watched the whole thing, and it is really good. It's quite old now, isn't it? It's about 10 years old, maybe more. But yeah, I watched the whole thing. It's really good. I think it is on one of the streaming things now. Angelo also says, thanks for reminding me that I need to make a will, though I'd rather be buried with all my stuff. Okay, if you say so. Hi, Clive. I've just remembered Dinner Ladies, which was written by Victoria Wood and starred Julie Walters, Thelma Barlow, Anne Reed and Shobhna Gulati. So, so funny. I do remember that, yeah. Richard Tracy says, any show with Vic and Bob. Yep, I'd agree with that. And Matt in Worcester says, going back to, in relation to the text that stated I was naive, many, many Russians have got very easy access to Western media via VPNs. Additionally, they holiday abroad a lot where there are no restrictions to too many countries to list. The last two countries I've been to, Egypt and Turkey, they were the majority nationality. Russian public are not isolated like North Korea, for example, says Matt. Thank you. And another Matt from Bristol says, don't forget Red Dwarf, a classic comedy that started in 89, my all-time favourite. Right. I will try and squeeze in more of the messages in a moment. More calls coming up as well. This is LBC.
Coming up at 4 on LBC. Henry Riley.
There's been yet another attack on a prison officer at a maximum security prison. Why is this happening and what can we do to stop it?
Henry Riley on LBC.
Keeping your smile healthy. At Darwood & Tanner, it's our sole purpose and absolute obsession. Whether you're missing a single tooth or many teeth, our streamlined patient journey, world-class dental practitioners, and advanced implant technology will get you smiling again quicker, more comfortably, and in the least invasive way. Darwood & Tanner. For our most comprehensive, tailored, and complete dental implant treatment, visit darwoodandtanner.co.uk.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training. Like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Clive Bull on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Sandra's in Chertsey. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Hello, Clive. I thought this wouldn't take long. I've only got one main real bugbear, but you've mentioned a lot of mine just now. But I just, before I forget, well, I forget, but Charlie Drake, I think you'll find, was Hello, My Darling.
Ah, yes, yes. A lot of people have suddenly been texting in about that. It was Hello, My Darlings, not...
Darling.
And it was Bruce Forsyth was All Right, My Love, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember saying love so much, but Charlie Drake, and also he had a TV series latterly, I think, and Charlie Drake from Weybridge, and of course I comment, because we're not, for anybody who's not in Surrey or local, church is very near Weybridge, so I seem to recall that he would say Charlie Drake from Weybridge on this series.
You may well be right, I don't know.
It was something that struck me very much, but it's a long time ago now, you know. But, so that's just a point. But as I said, I've just got one particular one, which is I thought once I'd ring up and find out how you pronounced it. But the word ing, I think it's ugly, like Pretty Patel. When people leave off the G, it sounds really ugly to me, you know. But I rang about contribute, because everybody in the world listening on LBC, and this is where I notice words, I don't see much notice in real life, but on LBC I do, everybody in the world seems to say, how would you say contribute, by the way? This is what I think.
Ah, so is it contribute? I probably would say contribute, but some people say contribute.
Everybody does, and I checked it on the smartphone, and sure enough, the accent is on, actually they put it as treat. Contribute. Obviously, if you're saying contribution, that's different. And the other day, to my pleasure, now I'm probably mispronouncing this, Nadine Sawari, I'm saying it quickly, ex-education secretary, do you know, he actually came on and used the word with, you know, contribute, and also, obviously, it changes when it's longer. And I thought, how wonderful, and he actually got it right, you know. But
right.
So it's
contribute.
No,
it's contribute.
The accent, yeah.
Contribute.
They
so the accent's on the second word, contribute.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Second
and
syllable.
One of those words which said it could be ambiguous, but and then there's a good definition saying contributory, you know, the Y glides as in, oh, I can't, it was very interesting, but also I've noticed there was an ex-producer that I used to like on LBC, and they did an hour's programme like this, and they said pronunciation, and why do people not realise the O is dropped, and they all go pronunciation?
I know. It drives a lot of people mad, that one. It's pronunciation, not pronunciation, but there we are. Sandra, I'll leave it there just because you're still on scratchy line and I've got to squeeze in loads of people before 4 o'clock. So thank you very much, Sandra. Speak again soon, I hope. Carol in Hemel Hempstead. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Clive.
Hi.
Before I start, I must say I'm guilty of dropping my G's. I say going. Waiting, because where I come from, the northwest, that's how we speak. And
it's a dialect, it's for hard. Some people.
Yeah.
A lot of Londoners would say that as well.
Yeah. But the main thing that really drives me mad, and I hear it an awful lot, even radio presenters do it, TH. People either can't say it or it's just a dialect. Instead of, you know, the number three, they'll say free.
Free, yeah, instead of three. So they're not using their tongue for three.
Right.
They're using their lip and going free.
Yeah, or if they want to say mother, sometimes they put a V and say mother.
Mother.
And father, and whether.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that is actually the way you use your mouth, isn't it? Because
it is.
Don't know whether that's...
Yeah, even weather presenters say weather.
Weather.
Quite a lot. And also, the other thing is, people drop their T's a lot. They say water.
Water, yeah.
I think that's a... Lotter. I don't know if that's a Cockney thing. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a London sort of estuary thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dropping your T's. Yeah.
And can I just say,
that sometimes.
One word that drives me mad that people just use repeatedly these days, and I think it's come from America, is extraordinary. Everything is extraordinary these days.
I know.
Good, whether it's bad, it's extraordinary.
I agree. It's extraordinary, isn't it? The way they keep using extraordinary.
absolutely extraordinary. And can I just ask you one thing? The word prerogative, I know you don't spell it prerogative, it's prerogative.
Prerogative,
how do you pronounce it?
Pronounce it prerogative.
Oh, with the R in, yeah.
Sure. Definitely, yeah, but people might not. Carol, thank you very much. Let me quickly mention a few of these. Clive, one that drives me mad is restaurateur, not restaurateur. That's another good one. Ruth says people get the words prostate and prostrate muddled up. That is true as well. Prostrate, not the same thing as prostate, which is the medical issue. Richard says, one of my pet peeves is reaching a crescendo. A crescendo is the process of getting louder. It doesn't denote a high point. Bruce is pointing out that I said Seville earlier on, or Sevilla. I should have said Sevilla in Spanish. Okay, you're quite right. Absolutely. And Conrad's reminding me, have I read Eats, Shoots and Leaves, which is a bestseller in its day? It's all about misplacement and of punctuation and how it alters a sentence altogether. Yes, I do remember that. Eats, Shoots and Leaves, which could mean various different things depending on where you put the apostrophes and so on. David in Tynmouth. Hello, David.
Yeah, I was going to say the one of Charlie Drake, but there's a word which is relatively new, which irritates me, and that's nuance.
Nuance.
Everybody's nuancing things.
Yes.
It's relatively new, but to me, the greatest radio comedy series was Round the Horn with Kenneth Williams and Kenneth Horne. Have you ever heard it?
As a little lad, brilliant. I do remember that being on the radio, yes.
Yeah, it was that brilliant. That Jules and Sandy, you know, camp as hell, they were really
funny. It was. It was indeed. I remember it well, David. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for that one. Gary in Orpington says Charlie Drake's signature catchphrase was, "Hello, my darlings." Yes, I think we've settled on that now. And Jackie says Butterflies, which was filmed in town where I live in Cheltenham. Butterflies, yeah, that was another one of those sort of gentle comedies. Have we got a very quick one here with Joe in Kingsbury? Hello, Joe.
Hiya.
Hi.
My mother-in-law could not say certificate. She used to say certificate.
Certificate, yes.
I
can imagine that, actually, yes. Yes. In fact, I'm struggling to say it myself now. Thank you very much for that one. And let's see, we're going to squeeze in one more. Let's have a word with Gil in Newport. Hello, Gil.
Clive, good morning.
Morning.
The defence budget, any increase in military expenditure will not to any significant degree strengthen our national security. Ever greater expenditure on tanks, guns, soldiery, old-school armaments to wear blue in the face would be futile, as any who've watched throughout the Moscow Red Square Victory Day parade, I think, would have to concur. We as a country could never match that, lest we spent almost every penny we possess, as Russia have since 1945, and for valid reason from their point of view, given the history. Nor do we have to. The Russian military machine is a formidable adversary, but we as a nation, should major conflict come our way, would not fight alone, as in the early years of World War II. Today, should war come our way, unlikely, given the great leveler, nuclear deterrent, we have all Europe
Let's
and America
so.
With us in an instant come to our aid, equal in conflict to anything Russia could throw our way. So
yes.
I think it should basically, in that nutshell, should be spent on the digital side, Clive.
Yes, and it looks like it probably will be as well. We'll find out in that strategic defence plan, the 10-year plan.
The old school route is just not a goer these days.
No, absolutely. Right, well, don't have nightmares. If you miss any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the LBC app. but not at the same time, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinion, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 7 on LBC, it's Weekend Breakfast with Matthew Wright. But right now, it's Henry Riley.
Thank you. Bye, Gil. Thank you, Clive. Good morning. Coming up.
Do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the Barry and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
Was Robert Jenrick performing a public service with his video confronting fare dodgers? We'll discuss. Plus,
we're taking really decisive action to tackle the environmental problems caused by single-use vapes and to tackle the problems they cause for children's health.
From tomorrow, it will become illegal to buy single-use vapes. Will this wean people off the devices or could it backfire? But first,
how are these weapons getting into the jail? Because we know this particular weapon wasn't a homemade weapon, so it's coming somehow.
Yet another attack on a prison officer at a maximum security site. How is this being allowed to happen and how best should we tackle it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock. Despite appealing against a legal challenge, President Trump has announced more tariffs on imports to the United States this morning. He's told steelworkers in Pennsylvania levies on steel and aluminium will double from 25 to 50%. On Thursday, a U.S. trade court tried to block the imposition of duties because of the way they were implemented, but White House correspondent at The Independent, Andrew Feinberg, has been telling LBC the ones applying to metals will probably survive.
Those tariffs were put on initially during his first term using a statutory authority that is not in dispute. Even if the courts end up throwing out his Emergency Power Liberation Day tariffs, these